This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Welcome back into The Hall Show. I want to thank Dr. Tyler Terry and Dr. Haley Harada. I've been seeing that chiropractic company for 1 year now. They were the Chiropractic Standard when I started. They branched out, and they're doing their own thing. That's Rev Chiropractic. And, man, they have helped me out. My back feels tremendous. I'm lifting better. My kid, I'm able to throw him all over the place, man. And I'm able to do that. Because of Rev Chiropractic, my back pain was starting to get to a weird point last year where I thought, my goodness, I'm irritated. I'm driving home. It's driving me crazy. But thanks to Rev Chiropractic, I'm feeling good again. They're off Highway 34 and 35th Avenue. There's a Home Depot in that same shopping center. Look them up. Rev Chiropractic. Tell them I sent you if you're in pain. Rev Chiropractic. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Fun debate today. I tell you what, I'll post my thoughts up on this, or my top 10. I'm sure you guys will love that, but I'll get it out there at some point. Number 10's controversial. Gotta love it. In the meantime, check out My Deep Thoughts from a Wandering Mind. Is Nikola Jokic coming for the Colorado throne? There's a lot of work for him to do, but I do think he can. I think it's possible. I really do. It's going to be a tough task, but I think it's possible. He's not going to be an executive or anything like that, what John Elway did. So he's going to have to do it all on the floor. I don't see him taking over as GM of the Nuggets someday. I really don't. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day: who's going further in the dance? And I am assuming both those guys get in. Wyoming and CSU. Who's going further? Boy, 20 days ago I would have said CSU, no brainer. Wyoming's smoking hot right now. I'm still going to go Colorado State. I'm sticking to my guns on that. It's going to do it for us. We got the College Hoops Tip-Off Show coming up with Kevin Lytle and Chris Abshire at 5 o'clock. We got UNC basketball after that. Beforehand, Betting Across America, making people rich. And the Good Afternoon Guy, making people rich in life. Good night, Northern Colorado.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hall on The Hall Show, 1310 KFKA.
Big thanks to Miranda Simpson for helping making this program what it is today. Having someone local has never been more important. We know that. Live and local radio. You're not going to get this local content in many areas. I think we're the only ones up here talking, you know, a lot of sports, a lot of different sports. And people like Miranda Simpson help us keep that going. She's local, too. She's here, and she's ready to help you with all of your insurance needs in Colorado, Wyoming, and Nebraska. Miranda is a local State Farm insurance agent for the Fort Collins and Northern Colorado area. She is going to help you with auto insurance, homeowners insurance, renters insurance, life insurance, business insurance. She's also very active with the CSU Ram Club. She's a CSU Ram Club member in Fort Collins, so a diehard Rams fan. She's a lifetime member of the Colorado State Alumni Association. So she just gets it. And so she's a big part of our coverage here. And what, you know, again, if my Rams fans that listen, the CSU fans that listen, when you like the coverage that you're not getting anywhere else, think people like Miranda Simpson. She helps us do this. Call Miranda Simpson, State Farm, at 970-223-7800. 44 minutes after the hour. We're having a fun debate about this. It's not my Method Flow poll question of the day, but it took us down a nice, interesting little spiral. Now, I put together my Deep Thoughts from a Wandering Mind blog. It's available at thewholeshow.com. And just ask the question, you know, could Joker be coming for the Colorado GOAT throne, the Colorado throne? And I don't think it's that far-fetched. He's got a lot of work to do. But, hey, find a way to win a title in the next 2 years. Maybe win another MVP award. And I think you're at least looking at it. Now he's got to pass a few people on the list here because he's not. I got him at number 7. I think that's where I decided I'm just going to put him. I got him at number 7. This is an interesting take, Eastside Chris, and I know you've been you're a Floyd Little guy. He says, "I got a new goat. My top 5 here. There would be no Denver Broncos without Little, and I get that. With Floyd Little, he was the franchise, and I think that that showed Broncos ownership at the time that, okay, we can get some fan support here. Yeah, I agree with you. He's got Elway 2, Joker 3, Waugh 4, Helton 5. Now, you're saying Floyd Little's the GOAT. That's what you're saying. If he's the top, if he's number one in your top five, you're saying Floyd Little's the GOAT. Floyd Little's tremendous. Certainly in the great history of sports. Do you award the first great player to do it, or are we awarding the greatest? And I get where you're coming from, Eastside Chris, but I tend not to, I don't have Floyd Little in my top 10. And it's not a knock, and I don't want to be disrespectful at all. And I know how important he was to the franchise. And if you want to talk about like guys that were extremely important in keeping Denver, the Broncos in Denver, yeah, he's up there. He's number one, probably. But I'm looking at the GOAT, you know, the greatest of all time to do it. And in this state of Colorado. And I know it's hard to compare sports, but that's kind of what we're doing today. So I kind of wrapped it up with Elway, Joe Sakic, Peter Forsberg, Patrick Waugh, Shannon Sharp, Terrell Davis. I got Nikola Jokic at 7. He's the only one on that list of the top 7 that doesn't have a championship. So get one, and it might raise you up there. Then I have Larry Walker, Von Miller at 9. And I had a hard time with this one, either Alex English or Carmelo Anthony at 10. And I'm going to say Carmelo Anthony at 10. I changed that too. People hate that I bring Carmelo Anthony's name up over Alex English, but here's why. The organization was in shambles before Melo got here. You were the laughing stock of the NBA. And ever since you got Melo, you started going to the playoffs again. You were in the playoffs consistently. You went to the Western Conference Finals, which Alex English only did that once. So I go Melo, again, in terms of greatness, what he did to elevate such a terrible franchise, I got him in my top 10. I'm sure I'll go through it 400 million times, but that's what I got so far. 47 minutes after the hour. Let's check out what's on TV on the other side. Before we do that, shout out to Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. Their sports medicine physicians provide team and game coverage for the Colorado Eagles hockey team, area high schools, and dozens of rodeo competitors, as well as team physicians for Colorado State University sports teams. So they are very much locked in to our Northern Colorado community. That's Orthopedic Spine Center of the Rockies. Check them out, orthohealth.com. See a list of physicians and all the wonderful things that they do. Maybe you guys could use one of their wonderful physicians at Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. What's on TV coming up next? It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join the Hull Show Bracket Challenge. Winner gets $500 cold hard cash. Keep listening to Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
I've told you about Weldworks. That sounds like a pretty good place to go meet up with a business associate, whatever. You're going to a client meeting, you want to hang out, you're going with the buddies, you're going with the significant other, or you go by yourself. Yeah, you can go by yourself to a brewery and chill out. I know my friends at Midnight Oil, the bookstore, the local bookstore down there, they got books over at Weldworks from time to time. So check it out. Sit in there. Hang out at Weldworks every single Friday, which... If my math is correct, Jadine, that's tomorrow. They got Friday beer releases coming out at noon. Every single Friday, a brand new beer release. That's what you get when you have dialed-in beer. That's Weldworks in downtown Greeley. Tell them I sent you from the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I like this discussion about the GOAT and all that. We're seeing if we can get a hold of Mark. Mark might be running into some stuff. We'll see. Not in a bad, like, nothing bad. But, you know, he's a busy man. We had to change it up yesterday because we had to schedule things around with some of the coaches we were getting on the program. But for the Buffs, it was nice for them to snap that three-game losing streak, whooping up on Oregon State. That was a big one for them. We'll see what the, you know, they got Utah coming up. Maybe they can get that win, start putting something together here. But we'll get into that. We'll get into the GOAT discussion. Just how far the Joker has to go to get to that, to the top of the mountain, so to speak. So it's a fun discussion. No question about it. The voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. We do have him on. Mark, my friend, always great to catch up with you.
Good to be on with you, man.
Hey, you know what's even better is when you can see you, you know, break off of that three-game losing streak and do it in a fun way and just absolutely annihilate Oregon State.
Yeah, they did. And I tell you, that was good for the Colorado Buffaloes. And in all full disclosure, Oregon State's got some issues going on within that program. And they were a little shorthanded that night. But with that being said, Colorado played well. They shot the ball well. They took care of the basketball in large part. Not greatly, but only had 14 turnovers in that game. And so, you know, they came through just a murderer's row of schedule here as of late. And, you know, what comes up now, things lighten up a little bit for them here over the next few weeks. They head down the backstretch of the season. So we'll see if they can kind of maintain what they did on Saturday.
Yeah, you're right. There's that massive stretch there started. Seems like we've been on the stretch, and that's the Pac-12 for you. There's some really good teams in the Pac-12, and they just hit all those top teams kind of in a row. But here's an opportunity for perhaps the Buffs to catch their breath a little bit. Looking at a 14-9 record, 6-7 in the Pac-12, a nice opportunity for them to get over that 500 mark in the Pac-12 with these next couple of games with some of the basement dwellers in the Pac-12.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, you've got Utah coming in this weekend. They've only won one time in the last 12 outings. Then you go to Oregon State. We got one of those crazy three-game road trips again next week, which are not good for a young team. But you go to Oregon State, you got a rematch with them. They're a little better at home. Their numbers are certainly better at home than they are on the road. Then you got to go to Cal and then to Stanford. That'll be a challenging game. Then you come home, you got Arizona, obviously one of the top teams in America, and I think probably a national title contender. Then you got Arizona State, which is very up and down. Then you got a rematch with Utah. So they've got a chance here down the stretch to make some noise. And they're going to make a run at a 20-win season again here in 2022, and I think that'll be good for a very young team. And then we'll see what happens when we get the Pac-12 tournament time in Las Vegas.
Yeah, no question. I can't believe we're dwindling down this quickly, Mark. We're getting closer and closer to the end of this season. But like you said, this next stretch of games, you know, at the end of the season is always a defining moment for a team because you want to be playing your best basketball. But this is kind of it. It's right there in front of Colorado. I don't know what the realistic expectations were for the Buffs, but suddenly you got a chance here to move up the ladder and finish in that mid to higher part in the Pac-12 if you can handle these teams that maybe on paper you should beat and maybe some of those on paper that could be a close game if you can find a way to pull it out.
Yeah, you know, they've got a real opportunity. And you look at that stretch there, and you've got, I think, obviously the Arizona game, as I mentioned, and the Stanford game. I think it's going to be a very tough game. And, you know, anytime you go on the road, obviously there's a great challenge there. But they've got a chance here. And, you know, heading into this season, you know, I was at an event the other night, and this big Buffs fan came up to me, and he said, you know, I can't believe the job that Chad has done with this young team. I mean, you know, as young as they are, now they're down to only one upperclassmen because Elijah Parquet's out for the rest of the season with the ankle injury. They've had, let's see, 4 now season-ending injuries on this team. The guys that would have been, you know, big contributors of it. They're exceptionally young, and yet Tad's putting the other team that's going to make a run at 20 games again this season. So this guy said it because I'm stunned. And I said, ye of little faith.
It's something,
I'm
isn't it?
I'm on your show all season long, Brady, that, you know, this team was going to be a bit up and down at times, but there's undoubtedly talent there. And so Tad's done a good job of kind of shepherding it along, I think.
Well, and I agree with you, Mark. I mean, I'll be honest. Going in, I was wondering, all right, what kind of team is this Buffs team going to be? Obviously, they had a great start in non-conference play, and we know they ran into the buzzsaw, as we said, with a lot of really solid basketball teams when you get into that the thickness of that Pac-12 schedule. But, I know this sounds like just a love fest about Tad Boyle when you and I get to talking, but it's the truth. I mean, when you look at a young team like this, with I think the outsider's perspective, they didn't have a lot of great expectations for this team. And here you are sitting at 14-9 overall. I mean, that's a decent record right there. It's not world breaking or anything, but that's a solid record considering very young group that has a nice future in front of them.
Well, and I think you look at it and you say that they've got two bad losses right now. You've got Southern Illinois. That was down at Virgin Islands earlier this season. That was a bad loss. They should have I thought going down there, I fully expected Colorado to play Colorado State in the title game of that event. I thought that would have been a great test for them. And you know, win, lose, or draw, whatever happens in that ball game, because obviously CSU's got a very good team. You would have come back and said, okay, this young squad did what it's supposed to do. The loss at Washington hurts. And that's not – now Washington's gone on, and they're kind of fighting themselves and also winning some basketball games. You know, people will point to the Washington State game. Well, listen, that was a quad one game to begin with. And, yes, the Buffs did look awful in that game. Make no mistake about it. But there was a good chance going into that ball game. So if they would have lost by 5 points, I wouldn't feel any, you know, any worse or any better about it. They just stunk it up that night and didn't play well. That's not a bad loss in terms of just the W or the L coming out of Washington State, because Washington State's a very good basketball team right now. So they got two bad losses this season. Outside of that, who have they lost to? Tennessee, UCLA twice, USC twice, Arizona once so far this year, and then Oregon is going to be an NCAA tournament team. And so, you know, it's not like they've got a long list of bad losses this season, but they have been inconsistent, and that's the thing this team's got to work out.
Yeah, I think that was one of the things you talked about to start the season is, hey, when they do start losing, how do they handle that? And I think you're right. Yeah. There's just inconsistencies. I think they've handled some of the losses, and they bounced back really well. And then, obviously, they opened up and kind of went on a three-game losing streak there. In close games, though, a couple of them, except for that Washington State game, as you mentioned. But that is a learning process for this team. And, again, I don't know what the expectations were, but I do think if you're a Buffs fan, you are looking and saying, we might have a pretty decent team in the next couple of years for a nice run.
Well, I think there's a chance to be an exceptional team. Now, if you keep this whole group together, okay, you're going to have Lawson Lovering come back, a seven-footer. You've got Joe Hurlburt, who's one of the top recruits in America, coming in, that kid from North Dakota that's shattering all the records up there. And Gonzaga and Wisconsin were after. So you got them coming in. Quincy Allen, who was the highest-ranked recruit in his class, has not played a second for the Buffaloes. He's one of the injuries I referred to. Javon Ruffin has not played a second for the Buffaloes this season. And so, you know, you get all these guys still coming back. Now, some of them are going to be young. Some are going to be inexperienced. But guys like Jabari Walker and Tristan DeSilva are going to play a lot of basketball. Now Luke O'Brien and Nate Clifford have played a lot of basketball. And so, you know, all of a sudden that inner core starts growing up a little bit with a lot of young talent around it. So, yeah, they've got a real chance. I mean, this thing could be a whole lot of fun, you know, as we look down the road a little bit. But first we got 7 games to play here in the regular season in the Pac-12 tournament, and then, you know, we'll see what happens after that.
7 games left already. We'll see what kind of damage, if any, the Buffs can do in the Pac-12 tournament. Mark, what time do things get started for you later this week, right? We're not playing until Saturday, right?
Yep, that's right. It's Saturday, 6 o'clock game, so I'll hit there at 5:30 on the network in Denver at 850 KLA, and we'll see if the Buffs can take care of the Utes in the first of two matchups there.
Yeah, put on a nice little win streak here and play your best basketball going into the conference tournament. That's all you can ask for.
Without question. Yeah, that's the plan. And you know, looking at where this squad is, as we talked about, they're coming. They're learning. They're getting more mature. They're starting to understand things. You know, Tad will tell you right now that, you know, we're late enough into this season, this is no longer a young team. But it, you know what? It still says freshman and sophomore by all those names
right
on that roster. And so they still got some stuff to learn and obviously some time to spend in the weight room. But, I like the future of where this thing is at.
Well, you're right. And I always look at each point in the season. You know, there's the beginning, the middle, and the end. And I think there's learning points to take from each side. And so some of these guys haven't quite experienced what the end of this marathon is quite like. So you're right. There's still a few lessons to be learned here in these final 7 games. And we're here for it. We'll see how they do. Mark, my friend, always appreciate you. And hey, what's Nikola Jokic have to do to become the GOAT? How many championships does he have to win to become the Colorado GOAT?
Oh, the Colorado GOAT?
Yeah, the Colorado GOAT.
Yeah, if he's just, I thought you meant overall, I thought, well, he's got a ways to go to get that.
He's
got to
get like 20 championships, probably.
Yeah, he's going to have to go, you know, there's a guy named Jordan and a guy named Bird and a guy named Magic and guys like that are up there that he's got to chase. I think to be the Colorado GOAT, well, first off, if he wins one championship with the Nuggets, that's going to put him right. He's got to be the GOAT then at that point in time, right?
Yeah.
For the numbers he's putting up and the pace he's on. And I saw you retweeted something the other day with, you know, some benchmarks that he had hit that nobody had ever hit in their first 500 games or whatever it was. And I mean, he's already on a trajectory where you've got to say he's going to go down as a Hall of Fame player, okay? So that's already being said about him. So I think if he brings a championship to a city that's never had an NBA championship, that automatically makes him the GOAT, I think, right?
I sure feel that way. I mean, he might have two MVPs here in the next. I mean, he had one last year. He might get it again this year, so yeah. You add that into the mix. And, you know, when you start hearing national broadcasters make comparisons to him and Wilt Chamberlain as far as records he's breaking and company yeah. he's in, that's when you start having those discussions, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt. And he is as unique a player as we've seen, because his skill set, I think, is so phenomenal in terms of his basketball IQ, how he sees the floor, how he includes other guys and gets other guys involved. I think he is one of the great players. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not an NBA basketball fan in terms of the style overall of the game. I enjoy watching certain players play the game. And right now, Nikola Jokic is the number one guy in the NBA I enjoy watching because of the skill set and his style of play and how he gets everybody involved. I think he's phenomenal. And that's why, you know, I'm not sure he's got to go a whole lot further until we just kind of say, you know what, I think the argument's over here in Denver. But if he brings a title back to Denver, well, my goodness, to me, that conversation's not even a conversation anymore.
Yeah. Give me about 10 more guys exactly like the Joker in the NBA, and I think you're going to have a league that finally starts to contend with, I'm not going to say the NFL, but at least is up there, because I agree with you. When you take Joker off the floor, I'm a diehard Nuggets fan, but I'm bored out of my mind, man, when he's off the floor.
Well, Brady, think back, and I'm a bit older than you are, so go back, and a lot of your older listeners will remember this. You go back to the late 1970s, and the NBA was having its troubles, okay? There was all kinds of drug issues going on. The style of play wasn't real great. And two guys came through. Dr. J kind of laid the foundation. And then Bird and Magic came in. And the way those guys played, which is very similar to what we're talking about with Nikola Jokic in terms of their passing ability and overall skill set and getting everybody involved, and that reignited an interest in the NBA. And so, you know, Jokic, I think, can have that kind of effect as well. And, you know, it's like a couple of other guys around there with him. But they can have that kind of effect, because that back in the 1979-80, I think it was the first season that Magic won that championship, and Bird came in the same year. And that was the year that thing kind of turned to the NBA. And so you're seeing a similar kind of style from Nikola Jokic that I think can affect this league greatly.
Yeah, and you're right. You're going to start – I think you'll start seeing players want to model their game around him. And so you might start seeing some of those copycat players coming into the league, which I think would be tremendous for the NBA.
Yeah, without question. I think it's – you know, what he does – you know, everything goes in cycles. And what we've been on here, first there was the Jordan cycle, and Jordan was a phenomenal player, make no mistake about it. But, you know, in recent years, you've seen kind of the Steph Curry cycle come through, where everyone's jacking threes, and you know, there's a lot of clear outs. LeBron had an effect, obviously. But when you think of Jordan, what came after Jordan? Kobe Bryant did,
yeah.
and players of that ilk, right? And so you through. I think Jokic can be that kind of guy where maybe some highly skilled bigs out there that are kind of team-oriented guys could really start coming through this league. And so, you know, you kind of watch for that wave to come after him.
Yeah, it'll be fun, man. Mark, appreciate you as always. And we'll see. I think the state of Colorado in general is having some great basketball, so hopefully people are paying attention.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. Amen to that.
All right, my friend. That's Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. I think it's interesting. I know this show's kind of been a Joker-themed type show, but don't you think the conversations have changed so much with Joker in his career? Think about this. When he started, it was, who's that guy? Can he beat out Yusuf Nurkic as the starter? Could he be a starting center, even though he was drafted so late in the draft that a Taco Bell commercial was airing while he was drafted by the Nuggets? Can he beat out Yusuf Nurkic and be a starter in this league? That was our first step, right? Second step was, can Nikola Jokic be the best player on this team? Can he be the best player on this team? Then it was, can he be the leader on this team? Is Joker really the kind of guy that could get this team back in the playoffs? Then it changed to, is Joker one of the best in the league? Is he an MVP candidate? Really? Really? Well, now this year, it's changed to, could he win it again? And when it's all said and done, could he be top 10? Could he be one of the greatest players to ever do it? Here's what I think the next transition is, and this is maybe wishful thinking. How many championships will he get when it's all said and done? That's going to be a big thing. Is that the next transition we're going to see? Because I'm telling you, the Joker gets better every year. For a guy that gets better every year, the things that they're for him, the one thing he's missing, because he's going to get another MVP. if not this year. But he's missing that championship. And he's still relatively young. There's still plenty of opportunities to get a couple of them. Is it fair to say he could grab two or three when it's all said and done? And if he does that, where does that put him in the conversation? He's got to get one first. The Nuggets have never been to a title game, so, or a title series. So there's a lot of ifs and buts surrounding the Joker. But it's fun to talk about, isn't it? He's probably not, and I'm being fair, he's probably not Mount Rushmore yet. Top 10 for sure. I got him at number 7. I think in order for him to pass up Terrell Davis and Shannon Sharpe, he needs, I'm going to say he either needs another MVP or a championship, or maybe both, or maybe just the championship, because he's got the MVP. And then I think he moves up that ladder. To beat Waugh and Forsberg and Sakic, he needs a title to tack on. To beat Elway, he needs two titles. He needs two MVPs. And for good measure, maybe another title. Maybe he needs three. Maybe you got to go all in. 38 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash. Minutes after the hour, welcome back to the show. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Glad you guys could be with us here today on this Thursday afternoon. And a couple of things we got to get to, some housekeeping items. Boy, the NBA trade deadline is upon us here, and it is absolutely madness what's going on. So we're going to get to some of that. I tell you what, we got kind of two interesting stories today. Let's get to our big story of the day, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. I tell you, the first story here is obviously a tough one. Former Major League Baseball player Jeremy Giambi dies in California at the age of 47. Alden Gonzalez reported on ESPN that officers responded around 11:30 a.m., died at his parents' home in Southern California. They arrived to reports of medical emergency. They found Giambi dead at his parents' home in Claremont, east of Los Angeles. Police Lieutenant Robert Ewing told the Associated Press. The Los Angeles County Coroner's Office will determine the cause of death, Ewing said. Giambi played six seasons in the majors, including with his older brother, five-time All-Star Jason Giambi, on the A's in 2000 and 2001. Also, again, we have a lot going on in the world of NBA trades, too. This was a big one. Talk about kind of a blockbuster trade. According to ESPN, the Nets traded James Harden to the 76ers in a blockbuster deal that ends the former MVP short-lived Big Three stint in Brooklyn and also signals a fresh start for Ben Simmons. How about that? Harden's on the move via trade for the second time in just over a year. He's going to Philadelphia. Philadelphia will send Simmons, Seth Curry, Andre Drummond, and two first-round picks to Brooklyn, sources tell ESPN. The Nets will also receive an unprotected 2022 first-round pick and a protected 2027 first-round pick, sources say. Sources also tell ESPN. How about that, man? What a crazy, crazy situation. He did not last long when it came to the Big Three idea. You know, it was not. It wasn't meant to be, I guess. Harden is at this point in his career where I think he's getting harder to play with, excuse me. Now the question, of course, locally is, can the Nuggets make some moves? Will they be in the running to make a move? And my gut tells me no. We're going to keep an eye out for it, for sure. But I kind of see this team standing pat and seeing kind of what the injury situation looks like. And how everything goes from there. But I'm telling you guys, it's, if you're the Nuggets, you want to be very careful here. You don't want to rock the boat too much, especially when you're expecting to get your guys back. And I think that that's certainly where the Nuggets are at this stage. They're at a point where, hey, we do believe that if we get a healthy Jamal Murray and a healthy Michael Porter Jr., we're going to be in a good position to make a run. And I'm telling you, now that the Nets are out of the equation, I sat down last night. And I don't know if it's just me, but games I sit down to watch outside of the Nuggets that I expect are going to be good end up being just an absolute crap fest. I watched Golden State and Utah last night. Utah has been on a slope for sure. Golden State had won 10 straight. Draymond Green's out. They don't know what's going on with him. And the Warriors looked awful last night against Utah. Just awful. I know it's one sample size, but it does go to show you. I mean, if they don't get things right with their guy, they're going to have some big issues. I mean, they looked terrible. And that was the first female broadcast thing they did where there were all women broadcasting the game. And I was, I was watching the game and they'd mentioned several times, you know, hey, Curry has such a great rapport with Draymond Green that this is a shock. You know, this isn't a shock that he's going to struggle a little bit at first. Well, I guess I go to say, man, Curry, for all of the MVP talk that surrounded Curry, I mean, Curry looked awful last night, and he's been on a slide lately. How many slides do you see Joker going on? I mean, his worst game this year is like 23 points, something like that. Curry had 16 points and only like five of those in the second half. So you have Phoenix is just running the table. Golden State has now they have a question mark on them. They're 41-14. Memphis is looking good, 38-13. Utah's 34-21. Denver's not that far away from the upper echelon in the West. Now they're gonna catch Phoenix. They're 14 games behind Phoenix. They're not gonna catch them. They probably still won't catch Golden State. And they got a back-to-back tonight, I believe. But is it realistic to think they could catch Memphis? They're eight games back. They're seven games back. They're four and a half games behind Utah at number four. Denver could make a run here. How big of a run could they possibly make? Will they get past the first round? Now my expectations are changing a little bit. The Nuggets have been on a nice run. They've started to put things together. Now, they've had some disappointing losses even in the past, you know, five games. They had a three-game losing streak last week. I'm not ignoring that. But before that, they were on a five-game winning streak. And they'd won like eight out of their last 10 games before that. So they lose to Minnesota, which Minnesota's, I think, surprising a lot of people this year. They lost to Utah barely. And then they lose to New Orleans, which I know that was a tough one to lose. But they beat up on the Knicks. They got Boston tomorrow. Boston's coming on. They're starting to put something together. So that will be an interesting game. Watch out for that one. They're on the road, and then they're on the road against Toronto. So, I mean, Boston's sitting at seventh right now. Toronto's at sixth. So they're looking at every game like it's a pretty big opportunity for them to move up. Then you're home against Orlando, then at Golden State. And then after that, things slow down significantly for you. I mean, you have a chance to make a big run. So if the Nuggets can kind of survive this Boston, Toronto, Orlando, whatever, Golden State stretch, then they're going to, you know, if they can split that, then you're dealing with two Sacramento games back-to-back. Not back-to-back, but Thursday and Friday. Thursday and Saturday. Then at Portland, dumpster fire. Oklahoma City, kind of another dumpster fire right now. Houston, dumpster fire. And then New Orleans again, which they did lose to, but you sure hope you can be better than that this time around. So I'm saying they have a shot. They're sitting at 30-24. You beat Boston tomorrow, or let's just say you split with Boston, Toronto, or you win both of those games on the road. Easier said than done. You beat Orlando. Maybe you lose on the road at Golden State. But if you can go 3-1 in the next four games, man, you got a stretch of games where you should be able to roll and put yourselves in a big position. And then who knows? Do we get closer in March? Once March hits, do we start talking about Jamal? I haven't heard anything yet, and It's typically not a great sign if we haven't heard anything about them potentially coming back. So that's going to be, listen, I'm not counting on the Nuggets to this. I'm not saying this is going to be their year. Next year probably feels like it. You get everybody back, but hang in there. Get that fifth seed. You don't want to play Phoenix in the first round. That's what you got to avoid. You don't want to play Utah in the first round either. Probably don't want to play Golden State in the first round. So you want to avoid those three teams, I think. And then the rest, I think you got just as good a shot, especially if you can get your boys back. Dixon, I like this one. This is a unique one. I said I like unique. Elway, Helton, Sakic, Joker, Manning, arch nemesis. Wah, Nolan, Tanner, Schwint, and Mello. Is that your fake one? Dixon says, Brady, I think you should look at the Hall of Fame discussion look at this discussion like you look at the Hall of Fame discussion. Who are the guys you couldn't tell the story of Colorado professional sports without? That will help narrow down your list. Well, Elway, Terrell Davis, Shannon Sharp, you can't tell the story without those guys. Forsberg, Waugh, and Sakic, you can't tell the story without those guys. And even though it's a terrible story and not many people want to read it, you can't tell the story of the Rockies without Todd Helton and Larry Walker. And for the Nuggets, you can't tell the story without the Nuggets about the Nuggets without Alex English, Carmelo Anthony, and Nikola Jokic. So my list still kind of holds up. Is Von Miller in that? Yeah. He's going to go down in history as that iconic moment in the Super Bowl and winning the MVP. So you can't really tell a story without Von Miller in there as well. 15 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a quick break. We got Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, coming up next. But 16 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, we'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Follow NoCo Preps Hoops with Preps Radio on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.